PC Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Lego step-on-er. Stepper-on-er.
Oh, Jax is already playing with Legos?
Not really. They're bigger than that, but he's still got stuff that I step on, and I'm like, oh, here, this is going to be around for a while.
Fun.
Good times.
We also have Will Hottie Patani Schmidt coming in from the Bay Area at some restaurant cafe.
Hi.
What's up, Will?
How you doing? I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. We are back with part two of infertility.
So if you didn't hear part one yet, don't listen to this. Go na 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 na. Cover your ears. Go back and listen to part one. If you can't find it on iTunes, go to kickitnaturally.com and search for infertility to find part one, because we went over some stuff, bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and also you can go and read Tony's in-depth article on infertility, or just share it with a friend. Go to kickitnaturally.com and search for infertility in the search box, and then you'll get an article filled with information if you don't like the sound of our voices.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
No, they really don't. So let's talk. If you haven't followed us on Facebook, search for Kick It in the Nuts or Kick It Naturally. With over 200,000 fans, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to be on Facebook unless you're following us. And if anything you learned on today's show is too sciencey, just go to kickitnaturally.com and download our free quick list guide to figure out the best place to get started. You'll find the link to this free and easy 4-page guide on the right-hand side of any page.
So, Will, what would you say is the most important thing we covered in part one?
Well, I think that it was a really multifaceted thing where we primarily addressed the kind of intense lifelong story about a woman's struggle with her body and being undernourished through eating disorders, and then also body image issues that kept her body in a depleted state. And
well,
then
you
now
should do like trailer voiceovers, because I would watch that movie as you were talking about it. Right? Yeah. The lifelong story of a woman and her body.
I was riveted.
You know, it really, because it's not just like, oh, you should eat more and don't worry about getting fat. Like, that's not going to do it in her mind. Like, that's not enough. So there's physiological things that she needs to do to, like, nourish her body more so that it feels comfortable enough to be able to reproduce and it feels like it has the resources to. But there's also the psychological component of allowing her body to, you know, to change, like to get to a place where she's comfortable actually having like flesh, you know, like if she's anorexic and over exercising to stay super lean, that is not going to promote fertility. It's going to push her very much in the opposite way. So there's mental, emotional, and physiological issues. So I don't know if any one of them could really be said to be the most important, but they all matter, and they all have to be addressed to get her to the place where she can have a baby.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Talking about the mental part of it, I mean, when Yo really wanted to have a kid, I wasn't sure. I never really wanted to. I was like, somebody stole me snake oil. Because when we got together, you didn't want kids. And now all of a sudden you want them now that we're married. I told him to back off or whatever. And then I guess for whatever reason, I started thinking, oh, a little kid would be cute. You know, I love babies, blah, 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 blah. But I had put on a lot of weight since we'd got married. And I think that I kept saying to myself, I want to get totally healthy and back to where I want to be weight-wise before I have a child. So I think I kept, like, sabotaging myself and not doing it.
Just
but
so you wouldn't have to.
So I wouldn't have to have a baby. But then, anyways, I still ended up getting pregnant because I was kind of like, I'm not going to get pregnant anyways. I don't believe in it. I'm too old, blah, 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 blah. Boom, it happened right out of the gates. And so, I mean, anything's possible. Kind of what I'm saying here is if you kind of take the pressure off, you know, if it becomes something you're just kind of like, oh, whatever. A lot of people put so much pressure into it that it doesn't happen.
Well,
that was a long way to get there. But
no, but that's a really important point that we didn't hit last week when we were talking about, you know, the physiological effects that stress can have on the body. And we've all heard the story of a couple that was, you know, trying so long to conceive. And they finally just give up and say, we're just going to adopt. let's just do that. And within a month, they're pregnant.
And they're having twins or something.
Yeah, they have seven kids now. And that happens a lot because that stress is restricting the woman's body from functioning correctly. So it's a big deal. The stress, not only that you put on yourself, but the stress that your body experiences from a lack of resources, either of those things can make the environment not the kind of place that you want to bring up a baby.
Exactly. And the thing that I forgot to say was the biggest point is once I just kind of was like, I'm going to let whatever is supposed to happen, happen with the universe. And of course, if I get pregnant, I'm going to want this kid and love this baby, blah, 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 blah. But I'm not going to make it my life's mission. And I'm going to try for a year or however long. At 45, I'll stop, you know. And then it was like, boom. And so once that happened, I was like, okay, well, you're not where you want to be weight-wise, but now you just have to like really hunker down. And you know, I've only put on 15, so that's pretty good. I could have put on 85.
Right. You definitely could have, you know, before I forget, something you said is very important is, you know, for a lot of people that maybe they're right on the fence and maybe the stress that they're experiencing is enough to block this from happening. So when they remove that, they're able to get pregnant. But I don't want you to think that for everybody, as long as they just remove that stress in their mind, they're going to get pregnant. For a lot of people, just like with Stephanie last week that we talked about, there were a lot of issues that she needed to fix. And her just saying, I'm not worried about it, wouldn't have been enough for her. But someone like Kenna, that could have been if it was a problem for her, because she maybe she was just right on that fence like that. So we're going to look into some other things too this week. But just know that just because something worked for some person doesn't mean it's going to work for you. You have to look at your own physiology, figure out what's going on with you, and then you know what to work with, where your starting point is.
And everything else. I mean, it could be one thing. It could be three things. It could be your mentality. It could be your physiology. It could be something physically, you know, like wrong or something.
Right. Maybe you're not doing the sex right. Maybe your partner is putting stuff in the wrong places. I don't know. You know, maybe you need to look at that.
I know.
That's usually not the case, but we're saying that there's a lot of options for problems. All right, let's go to Annie.
Annie, Philadelphia, PA. What brand prenatal do you like? And are there other foods or supplements that can boost fertility like a prenatal? Like bone broth and...
Yeah, we'll talk about that for sure. One thing with prenatals, though, is that when you look for advice in the mainstream about getting pregnant, they almost make it sound like just start taking a prenatal and you're golden. And I've never seen someone just add a prenatal and that be enough to improve infertility issues, but it can be a helpful part of the puzzle. Just don't buy your prenatals at the drugstore or use prescription prenatals because they're all garbage. Will, do you want to talk about why a lot of those supplements are garbage that you...
Yeah, well, just the bioavailability of a lot of them are known to not be that great, but there are ones that are good. I would look up reviews. I would look up people that are companies that have done studies by objective third parties to look and see like were they absorbable or not. And there are good supplements out there.
Right, I did that and understand that a lot of the really good ones you have to get from a healthcare practitioner because they don't sell them to the public. Because they're effective and they're potent and they want that supervision to be from someone who knows what they're doing. And if there's lawsuits, it falls on the practitioner, not the company. Mm. So one that I really like is the Pure Encapsulations prenatal vitamin. That happens to be the one that I use too. I've heard good stuff about Innate Response prenatal too. Just make sure that what you're getting doesn't have all these binders and things that restrict your ability to absorb it and that it does not have folic acid. And everybody out there says when you're pregnant, you gotta have folic acid. What are you doing? You need folic acid. And it's wrong. It's a mistake because the body actually has to convert folic acid to be able to use it and it can cause problems. So what you want is a folate form and you get all the same benefits without any of the problems. So you want your prenatal to have folate in it or to be taking just a form of folate. One we use is called Quattroactive folate. That's the one you use, right, Kenna?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, but understand this too, that no supplement is going to make up for neglect and for eating improperly or an inability to digest what you're eating. It's not going to override that. You have to take other steps to, you know, fixing digestion can be like taking the best multi ever because you get nutrients out of the actual food. But we also really like bone broth. Do you want to talk about bone broth, Will, and why that can be beneficial?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of benefits from eating it, primarily because of the type of protein present in it. The collagen is it's also a supplement that you can have without without going to the trouble of making bone broth soup. You can just get it as a powdered form, and the brand we usually recommend is Great Lakes Gelatin. It's grass-fed cow bovine collagen from Argentina and Brazil. But you can also get a lot of great benefits, especially it's a really timely meal in the winter season to have these bone broth soups, because they also come with a lot of other great minerals and healthy fats. So that type of protein in particular is especially like soothing to the nervous system. It can reduce stress hormones. It's very, very usable for a bunch of different functions, not only building blocks of your tissues, but also, like I said, your hormonal state. And it's cytoprotective, meaning it protects your cells from oxidation and other stress hormones. So it's a great thing to get in abundance, whether you get it all from a bone broth you make or whether you supplement your diet with Jell-O or collagen protein.
Not like Jell-O brand Jell-O.
You can get gelatin and make your own homemade Jell-O.
Right, the brand gelatin that Will's talking about, yeah.
Yeah, you can get they have a collagen protein, which is easy to mix into shakes, and they have a gelatin, which you make Jell-O out of.
Right, and the other great thing about bone broth is that that slow cooking pulls all those nutrients out, and it's available to you. You don't have to digest it. And so even while you're working on improving digestion, you can get all those nutrients immediately. Another great thing is sea salt or an unrefined salt. That's a really big deal. Do you want to explain that, Will?
Yeah, and Ray Pete has a really great article. If you go to raypete.com and type in the search box preeclampsia or salt or pregnancy, you'll see where he talks about the significance of and the hormonal impact of getting enough salt. But it's super, super helpful getting enough salt and protein, especially when you're actually pregnant. But it can also just help facilitate the right internal environment. So don't go on a no-salt diet. It can cause preeclampsia. And also do the work to make sure that your digestion is working well so that you are able to digest protein, and also make sure you eat enough protein to give your body like what it needs to do that. And that'll really support your endocrine system and your hormonal system to help keep you in a much more fertile state.
You know, we haven't talked about sleep at all either.
Yeah. All these things that reduce the stress state are going to be really critical. So, in addition to getting enough nutrition and making sure you're absorbing that nutrition, having a peaceful environment and enough sleep, regular sleep also, yeah, it's absolutely critical.
And if you're having trouble sleeping, go to kickitnaturally.com and search for our trouble sleeping or insomnia episode, and that will help you understand what might be going on and how to fix that. And finally, another thing that can be is, you know, in part of this prenatal trying to boost my nutrition puzzle is organ meats like liver. And if liver is hard for you to eat, you can cut it up and put it into a stir fry with another meat and you don't really taste it so much. It's not so bad. But those type of organ meats have an amazing level of nutrients in it. And that's what you're trying to do. And of course, you got to fix digestion to be able to break down that meat. But that's one way. Another way, and this is what I did with Sarah before we got pregnant, is I took liver and I froze it for 14 days. And that's supposed to kill a lot of the little bad guys, any kind of pathogens that may be on there. And then once I did that, I cut it into little pill-shaped, tiny little pieces, and then kept them in the freezer. And every meal she would take 3 or 4 little liver pills whilst, you know, with her meal. And she would just swallow them with water like it was a pill because she did not like eating liver. And that worked for her. I didn't do that as much once she was pregnant. I kind of did more cooked liver. Just, you know, some people feel like the freezing may not kill all pathogens. And so I was just being overprotective. But while you're working up and trying to build up your nutrient levels, it's a great little trick that can make things easier if you have a really hard time eating liver.
Cool.
All right, Penny from Long Island, New York. Is it better to have sex before, during, or after ovulation?
Yes.
All of it.
Do it up, do it up. Well, during. You know, a lot of people, a lot of people are kind of stuck with this myth that you always ovulate on day 14. And not only is that not always the case, but sometimes that can be hard for some people to track and all this stuff. There's a lot of... There can be an app that can help some.
An app, and it's not totally scientific, but we would do it a couple of days before the ovulation window and a couple of days after and during the ovulation.
Right.
And that way you hit it, you know, somewhere
that's,
in there.
That's what's important. There's like this five-day window where you can get pregnant. And the most optimal time is the day before because it's they're kind of like the idea of the sperm ready there to pounce the egg. And so that's the best time. And there's a couple methods that people use that may be misleading to some people. There's a lot of the basal temperature, charting that people do. And what happens is when you ovulate, then your body temperature changes, but it's actually a reaction to everything that's going on after that ovulation. It's not a, hey, you're about to ovulate. So sometimes that's too late because when that egg drops, you basically have 12 to 24 hours. And if it's not fertilized, then the egg dies and it's just reabsorbed. So if you can get sperm in there right before you ovulate, that's optimal. There are some ways that you can kind of chart your cervical mucus, which I don't feel comfortable talking about. I don't have my own female parts, so maybe you can just Google that. But that seems to be the most effective way to really know when you're about to ovulate. So that seems to be the best thing. Like Kenna says, is, you know, if you just have sex every other day during that window of when you're around it, that seems to be pretty optimal.
Yeah, I mean, just go a couple of days before that window happens. I had to keep an app. There's no way I could keep track of it. So if you go a couple of ways before that little window happens and then a couple of days after that window and during the window, then that should get you. Because after a while, the app really tracks. It's hard when you're very irregular, though. I will say that because it has a hard time tracking you.
Because it's going off of when you're starting and stopping,
and
if you're not.
When you're putting in all your periods and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, so that can be tricky. But that cervical mucus thing seems to be a little better for people in that situation. But, you know, think that sperm can live 5 to 7 days. So it may not, the best swimmer may not be the guy that goes in that day. He could have gone in a day or two before.
That's so weird. I knew nothing about any of this stuff. It's like, did I even study this in school? I don't even remember studying this because I knew zero. But
they told everybody that you can get pregnant every day.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't tell it right. Yeah.
We never checked temperature. We never did any of that. We weren't even totally faithful about, like, the times in the fertile window and the before and after. We weren't that great about stuff. But... you know, and immediately after I would go to the bathroom or go shower or whatever. So, I mean, you know, different people need different things. Some people need to stand on their head, you know. Right. I didn't do all that.
Right. Just know that this is usually not the main issue that people are having trouble with. They try to get all this timing down, but they can't digest anything at all and they have no nutrients. So this is not the huge thing that seems to help the most number of people, but it's the science and you have to be aware of it if you're trying to put everything in your favor. And you have to understand there's only that 5-day window. It's not every day. Like they told us in school to the girls, if you just go under the bleachers, you're going to get pregnant.
Yeah. If you kiss a boy, if you hold hands, if you're alone in a room with a boy with a door shut, you're going to get pregnant.
Right, right.
Dancing too close. Yep. The list goes on and on. All right. Are we with Candace now? Are we at Candace? Okay. But before Candace, if you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn more about Tony and Will's online course for coaches. Also, today, all of our listeners can get a free audio book from audible.com.
Audible.com.
I was just giving you your time there. Okay. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for details. All right, I love how Tony gets so nervous around cervical discharge.
Well, my first book was about periods. I'm not totally against it, but when you are explained how to do this, just check your cervical mucus. It's just not something maybe I should explain.
Well, anything with mucus in it sounds disgusting. I'll say that for sure. So, okay. Let's see. Candace, what are your thoughts on IVF?
So, I will say that I'm not totally against IVF. If this is the only way that you can have a baby and you it's important to you, I say I would understand doing anything that you have to have a baby. So with that in mind, my thought is just that if you don't address some of these things that we talked about in both of these episodes, like the digestion and low minerals and all that kind of stuff, if that's a problem with you, if you don't address those things, you're kind of setting yourself up for trouble. So if you don't know what IVF is, it's basically the process of removing a woman's egg and then fertilizing it manually with sperm in like a petri dish and then transferring it, that embryo, back into the uterus and saying, okay, go at it, grow. So if your body has kind of been restricting you from conceiving to protect you and you kind of punch Mother Nature in the face and do this anyways, you can see that it could really magnify the problems that you're having. And, you know, a lot of women that have miscarriages because they have enough going on to get pregnant, but they don't have enough resources to allow that baby to give it what it needs to grow. And so that's one possibility. But even if you were able to carry the baby to term and have that child, your odds of like all the things that can happen after a woman has a baby, the postpartum depression, all that stuff, are really great if you're not taking the time to fix the things that are wrong before you do IVF. Does that make sense?
Yeah, are you talking to us or?
Yeah, I'm just saying, because like, I mean, there's all these problems and it's obvious that they're going to magnify if you have a little guy in there stealing all of your resources. Like if you tried to do this and your life was like a horror movie, everybody in the audience would be like screaming not to go in the barn because yes, they see what's going to happen. There's a study. I'm not a huge fan of studies, but this one made a point. We'll put the link on the show notes. And it did a study of women who did any type of ART, which is assisted reproductive technology like the IVF, and depression, and a much higher number of women who did IVF experienced depression in the third trimester and postpartum. And the study kind of made it sound like, well, this IVF must have caused more stress, which made it do that, but I don't see it that way. I mean, anybody who can conceive naturally is not going to go do IVF. It's expensive, and it's an ordeal. So the women that are doing that are women that can't conceive naturally. And we know that a lot of those are low on resources. So if we know that, and we know that a pregnancy is going to reduce their resources further, then it makes sense that a higher number of IVF participants would have postpartum depression. Don't you think, Will?
Yeah, absolutely. When the body's undernourished. I mean, sometimes they do everything right and they still end up with that. But well, you want to give your body the best chance that you can to come out of that in a balanced way. So, you know, what we're saying makes sense. And just do your best to try to get your body chemistry as supported as you can. And yeah, it does make a lot of sense that people that are already experiencing that sort of infertility would, like, when they force the situation, they're kind of working around the body's own innate intelligence, and you know, sometimes there's that, you know, that consequence to pay. But you know, even if you've already done that, what you want to do is just try to nourish, you know, learn how to nourish your body the best that you can while you are, you know, pregnant.
Or even after. And what I like to tell people is that I'm not saying don't do IVF. I'm not saying that at all. But if you can take the steps to nourish your body a little before you do it, and if you don't get pregnant naturally and you decide to do IVF, then at least you're set up a little bit better for more success for everybody involved. So I just like to see you set yourself up for better success if you're going to go that route.
All right.
Oh, I do one more thing. Will, can you talk about how to look at your blood pressure to get an idea if resources are low?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we have some videos of how to do that. If you go to any of our courses, we teach how to do that at kickitnaturally.com. But also, if you go to mybodyofknowledge.net and just type in self-tests in the search box, you will see a little video that demonstrates how to do that. But you can do it with a blood pressure cuff that you can either find at your local pharmacy. There's usually a free one, or you can buy one. They're usually around $40. And then you just put it on your usually they have upper arm ones or more accurate than the wrist ones. But they're both good. And you just, put it on and press the button, and then it'll tell you what it is. And they're pretty clear instructions, and there's lots of YouTube videos that show how to do that.
Right. So what's the score they're looking for?
Oh, yeah. Ideal blood pressure is right around 120 over 80. And it can fluctuate a lot. Like if you just climbed up the stairs or if you just woke up, it might be very different. And it's not that it's wrong. It's like, no, it really does change a lot depending on what you're doing. But what you want to do is just get a baseline reading of your body at rest. So just sit in a chair comfortably. Like don't do jumping jacks or something right before. Just be in a rested state and see what it is. And ideally, it should be right around 120 over 80.
Right. And you should have not eaten anything for 2 hours. You want to be on an empty stomach when you're doing this. And if your reading is the top number is below 112 or the bottom number is under 73, that's an indication that your resources are low. So if you've been having trouble conceiving and you see that your blood pressure is low, then that's a great sign, because now all of a sudden the infertility makes a lot of sense and you might be able to take some steps to improve that. So that can be something to be excited about. So just do your research. Be willing to look at yourself and understand your body chemistry to know what might be going totally whacked. And if you can balance that out, you're setting yourself up for a better chance at success. I think we did it.
All right.
Yay. Awesome sauce.
Well, I'm pregnant, so it worked.
See, the episode obviously worked.
All right. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com, or you can download our free quick start guide. You can also find more information at Will's website, mybodyofknowledge.net, or learn about how to become a health coach at healthprocourse.com.
Cool. We'll see you guys
next time. Have lots of sex in the fertile window.
Right. I'll see you guys later.
Bye.